Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome back to the UCL Fantasy Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Football Community. There's just me and Lewis tonight as we discuss the drama of the first legs, how our teams fared, and we answer a couple of community questions. That's all coming up on the UCL Fantasy Podcast. Lewis, mi amigo, how are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. No, it's Dad's not here again, which is funny, isn't it? Because, you know, I beat him this week again. Seems to only turn up when he beats me, doesn't he?
Oh, he's pulling all the excuses out of the bag, isn't he? Yeah. Anything to not come on here and face you whenever you beat him.
Holidays and hospital trips.
I actually don't know how he did. I don't know how you did. I don't know how anyone did on this. I've not looked at this in a couple of weeks, so I'm actually quite excited to see how your team's going to get on.
Yeah, I can run through my week now if you want.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go through the games first, and then we'll go through how our teams did with those games. We'll go through Ed's as well, even though he's not here. And then we'll answer some of the community questions that have been passed on to us via X, formerly known as Twitter. So we'll start with Leipzig versus Real Madrid. Did you watch either this or the Man City game, by the way, Lewis?
Yeah, I watched them both.
of course you did.
Of course I did. Yeah, I thought it was a good game, to be honest. I know it was only 1-0, but I really enjoyed it. I thought Leipzig got in some really good positions. They probably should have scored. Similar to Real Madrid probably should have scored more goals as well. But I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was interesting without Jude Bellingham. I was interested to see how Madrid would play without Bellingham.
And
it turns out, you know, Madrid don't need any particular player to do well.
I thought that Leipzig were the better team. Obviously, Andre Lunin turning into prime Iker Casillas for the game with 9 saves. I didn't really overly fancy the Real Madrid defence. We talked about it because of a lot of the injuries. They'd have some players back, but I think it was pretty much an inspired performance by Andre Lunin. I don't think his defence helped them out a great deal. I also think Real Madrid were quite lucky not to be 1-0 down because what did you think of the offside goal? I didn't think the player was affecting play, but what about you?
No,
I didn't.
It's one of those calls, isn't it? It felt like it could go either way.
Yeah, I just didn't feel right to me personally. That being said, if that goal goes in, the rest of the game doesn't pan out the way that it did. And with us championing Brahim Diaz on the podcast for the preview, obviously maybe he doesn't go on to score his absolute worldie of a goal, getting not only the points for the goal but pretty much confirming his spot as the player of the match for an extra 3 points. Did you end up bringing Brahim Diaz in?
Yeah, I think all three of us did, actually. It was kind of a last minute thing. I don't think I actually planned to bring him in originally, but finding an attacker that week was kind of difficult, you know, finding a midfielder that I liked other than the ones we had. But he did the business, didn't he?
Yeah, I think we'd sort of said that we were a little concerned that Vinicius Jr. might be starved without Jude Bellingham. I think it turned out that way, not just the fact that he was quite quiet in the game, but then, you know, Jude Bellingham comes back at the weekend. I mean, he ends up getting sent off after the game's finished. If you've not seen that, go and watch Jude Bellingham's... It can't even be classed as a last minute. It was a post-game winner against Valencia. The referee blew the final whistle after Jude Bellingham had headed it, but before it went in the net.
Ridiculous.
Strange. Strange. But obviously with Jude playing, I don't think he got the assist for Vinicius Jr., but he causes so much havoc that it frees a lot of space for him. So I do think that with Bellingham being back, it's going to be a lot better for players like Vinicius Jr. To really perform in a way that we know that they can. Obviously, we'll get into all of who we are going to recommend for the following game week on the next pod, as we always do for the preview. This one's just going to be to go through and see how the teams did. So we'll get on to a team that did do well, Man City. 3-1. Edison absolutely ruining everyone's clean sheet.
Double clean sheet for me.
Oh,
it's just a nightmare.
I mean, maybe he's done me a favour then.
You just don't trust Addison in a one-on-one situation, do you? Like, if the opponents have one chance, and straight away I'm like, right, they've scored. It's stressful to watch.
Yeah, I've just realised it was a double for me as well. And it's one of those where Copenhagen didn't have a chance in the game really before that, and then when that goal goes in, actually they were probably the better team for a 5-10 minute spell, and it really sucked the life out of the Man City's attack. Kevin De Bruyne had an assist taken off him, which is, I don't know if it was the right decision. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was did it go down as a solo goal in the end?
Well, no, it was Foden. De Bruyne passed the ball, but then it hit the defender, then bounced back off De Bruyne and went through into Bernardo Silva's path. So unless they think, well, he's not the intended target, but I mean, it hit De Bruyne and then it went straight to Bernardo Silva. So frustrating, especially for KDB captainers.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have Kevin De Bruyne, so I was obviously really happy about that.
Did you have Phil Foden?
Yeah, I had Foden. Like, the thing is, I feel like not many people had all three, did they? Haaland, Foden and Kevin De Bruyne. So we were all kind of backing against one, I suppose, and it was Kevin De Bruyne for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, especially after what he did in the Manchester Derby as well, Phil Foden feels like a player that I should definitely be looking to bring in. That being said, I do have four Man City players overall, two being defenders. So I don't know how I'd possibly squeeze them in. I'm sure that's something that you can recommend. But overall, not much drama from the game. I think that tie is going to be pretty much done and dusted. The fact that it's getting taken back to the Etihad, that was the away game for Man City. On to the next day, we had Paris Saint-Germain beating Real Sociedad 2-0. I loved this game. I thought it was fantastic. Paris Saint-Germain starting the better team for the first 5 or 6 minutes. And then the rest of the first half was just all Real Sociedad. I can't quite believe they didn't score. Kubo was absolutely brilliant in that first half. Really, really impressive.
He was insane, wasn't he?
And you know, they've hit the crossbar, the keeper's pulled off a couple of worldies, they've just done so well, and it was going the way that I thought it might go for the game. But the second half comes around, and I thought it was a fairly evenish second half beginning. Again, I thought Paris Saint-Germain maybe started slightly the brighter, but whoever's decision it was to have Kubo mark Kylian Mbappe needs to rethink their entire tactical plan of how to defend from a set piece. I mean, what on earth are they thinking? Because it is awful. But he's a right-sided forward / right winger. So, of course, Kylian Mbappe is going to lose his man. And also, isn't Kubo like tiny?
Yeah, I enjoyed the game, to be honest. It was I was a bit worried because obviously I had Hakimi, I had Zaire Emery and Mbappe, and when I saw Real Sociedad like completely dominating at one point, I thought this is not going to be a good game for me. But you have to look at what Sociedad did do. They were really lively, super lively, but I don't think they had one single shot on target. They didn't actually. They had loads of shots, but none actually on target. And half.
I think they hit the woodwork a couple of times, didn't they? And that was as close as they came.
Yeah, had half the XG that PSG did as well. But I think I am a little bit worried. Like, I know we're going to kind of talk about the games, the reverse fiction stuff, but I'm a little bit worried because Real Sociedad have started to score and stuff as well. So, yeah, I enjoyed the game. I thought PSG were probably lucky to get a 2-0 win there. But yeah, I mean, it was just Real Sociedad. I think they were in a poor patch of form, weren't they, where they weren't scoring. And that kind of continued into the PSG game.
One of the shocks of the tournament for many people, Lazio beating Bayern Munich 1-0. I'm actually very frustrated because I came onto the podcast last time and said I wasn't going to have any Bayern Munich players. I didn't fancy them away. I didn't think they'd do very much. I thought the most that anyone would get would be Harry Kane for one goal. That's all I thought at an absolute maximum they would get. And then the people of X started making me question that decision, including yourself, Lewis. Sabotage, bloody sabotage. And I took out Kylian Mbappe's 9 points to bring in Harry Kane, and he's 2, I think it was. So I'm really frustrated with myself for being swayed after being very sort of favouring on here to say that I thought Lazio are a good home team that don't concede many goals or chances.
Yeah, you did, to be fair. I mean, when you I didn't agree with it. I honestly thought that Bayern would score either way, because Lazio have conceded at home. I think their away form in the league is I think worse in terms of conceding goals, but in terms of results. But yeah, anyway, but I did think that Bayern, I had double Bayern attack, but what I did was I also had Mbappe as well. So I had Kane, Mbappe and Haaland, which meant that I didn't have to sacrifice Mbappe. So that's probably why you're feeling a little bit more, but also obviously the fact that, you know, you did call it. But yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it? Sometimes you get swayed a lot, Dan.
I do get swayed. I'm a fool, some might say, but a very happy one. I just get too excited. I'm just like, oh, I'm one of those classic fantasy players that needs like 22 players. I need a squad. I want a 26-man squad to rotate between. I want everyone. It was my own fault. I can't blame other people that. Guess what would happen correctly and just got it and then decided to bottle it. Basically, that's what happened there.
If it makes any difference, part of what you said actually helped me towards captaining Mbappe over Kane.
I'm glad I helped you, one of my competitors in the same league, mate. Yeah, it makes it feel much better. Cheers, pal.
Spot so on. I listened to you. You might not have listened to yourself, but I listened to you.
do this. I was indicative of our spaces last year when I'd make great suggestions and then think, you know what, I've got to do something differential now. Then the person that I recommended going back, it was Ansu Fati and Ferran Torres last year. I remember that well.
Do you remember we were also hyping up Thomas Muller over Benzema? Like, both of us were talking about it. And did you go for Muller over Lewandowski? Was it Muller over Lewandowski or Muller over Benzema?
Was this when Benzema scored back-to-back hat-tricks?
Yes.
That was our first season of doing these spaces. I was on holiday. I was in the Dominican Republic. I'd knocked back a few pina coladas and decided to come on the space. It's interesting. The sun shone out of Thomas Muller's backside. Said, you know what? I was half cut. I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to I'm going to go Muller over Benzema. Watch me with all my positive variants. I think Muller got a 1 point. I got subbed off early or something, and Benzema scored a hat trick against Chelsea, and then he scored another hat trick. And it honestly, it's just one of the worst decisions I've ever made.
It was our first ever spaces.
I've just remembered it was our first ever spaces. And that's what I came on and said.
Unforgettable, then, I suppose, isn't it? The first one.
What a time to be alive. On to the following week's games. We've got PSV versus Dortmund. Luke de Jong owners won out versus the Füllkrug owners. However, it's the luckiest penalty in the world because it's never a pen. I know that the commentator was saying, oh, it's the follow through. But when you watch from the side angle, you can see the player's going down well before the follow through. He's dived. It's a blatant dive. It should never have been a penalty to PSV at all. That being said, PSV were comfortably the better team in this game. I thought Dortmund had a good 15, 20 minute period around their goal. But other than that, I thought PSV were pretty dominant. Missed a bunch of sitters. Were you watching this one?
Yeah, I am. I watched all of them, Dan.
I watched
this in bed, actually. I think the missus was like, you're not going to watch any more football tonight, are you? I was like, nah. And then as soon as we got into bed, I put it on. But it was
the most romantic man alive.
I actually watched the game. I enjoyed it, to be fair. And do you know what? One thing I did do going into this this round was underestimate PSV. Like, I underestimated how good they were going to be at home. Like, they had double the shots that Dortmund had. I just thought they were really good. And I suppose at times PSV probably should have killed the game off. But, you know, Dortmund is still in it. Füllkrug didn't have a shot on target. So I'm lucky I dodged that bullet, to be honest.
I don't think it had anything to do with him. I don't know. Obviously, you did watch the game. I don't know if anyone else did. One of my favourite footballers ever, Marco Reus, is just not the same footballer anymore. He was awful.
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho was terrible. The pair of them were so bad. And Füllkrug was trying his best, and I think he was trying to link up the play. Although, obviously, Daniel Marlin played well, got the goal. You should go for Marlin or Füllkrug. I just thought lots of people would have went Füllkrug over Marlin, but it was a good goal. I mean, PSV's keeper made more saves than the Dortmund keeper. So Dortmund did have their own fair share of chances, but I just thought some of the chances that PSV were missing should have been put away.
Yeah. Well, Marlin actually had four shots on target. So he was the one doing all the shooting, I suppose. But
he would have had all four shots on target.
I think you're right, though. I think Sancho was poor. He was awful, Sancho. Marco Reus as well. He was below his usual.
There we go. Lewis's first pronunciation of the podcast there, Marco Reus.
Reus Royce.
Reus Royce.
It was coming, wasn't it? I enjoyed the game, to be fair. But yeah, again, I underestimated PSV, I suppose. I thought they were good. I don't think they're going to do that again, but
I think Dortmund are a good home team. I think going to be the theme here. A lot of the teams are going to be better at home than away, Shark. Ed's been banging that drum since match day one. So I wouldn't be rushing to bring in PSV players, that's for sure. Ian Mattson, just to finish with, got his obligatory yellow card in the game. Of course he did. On to the other game of that night, Inter versus Atletico Madrid. This had its fair share of drama. Marcus Thuram, who a lot of people had in as an enabler, subbed off with an injury, and his replacement got the goal. Lautaro Martinez with the assist. I honestly, other than watching the highlight of the goal, don't know anything about this game, Lewis. I didn't pay any attention to it, but you've watched it, so why don't you tell us about it?
Honestly, I didn't expect Atletico to be this as bad as they were. Like, Inter were completely, completely dominant in terms of possession. They had double the shots. They had nearly triple, quadruple the expected goals. I honestly thought that Inter could have won by two or three, to be honest. And not at one point did I think the Inter clean sheet was going to go. So doubling up on the Inter advance was a good idea. To be fair, though, Inter are one of the best defences in Europe so far this season. They're having a hell of a season. You know, they're like 12 points clear in Serie A now. So now we can start seeing the proper Inter. You know, the Inter that's going to play their first team every week, which is going to be nice. But yeah, Inter completely dominant. I thought the wing-backs were okay. I know Damian came off as early as expected with DeMarco, but yeah, I think an all around really good team performance, and Martinez did what we all expected him to do, and was nothing because it's Champions League. But
he got an assist. He got more points than Harry Kane and Erling Braut Haaland. So yeah. we can afford him that.
He got the fantasy assist.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, no. I mean, he had 3 shots on target as well, but they should have won by more, Inter. They really should have. So it'll be interesting to see how the second leg goes now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
On the final day, we had FC Porto grabbing quite literally a last gasp winner against Arsenal. I didn't watch this one because I watched the Napoli versus Barcelona game, and I don't do what you do and go back and watch them all. One thing is, though, because the goal was so late, I had switched over by this point. So I did manage to see the goal, managed to see my Arsenal clean sheet disappear in smoke. I've heard that Arsenal weren't up to much in the entire game. Is that a good assessment of it?
Yeah, it was pretty much. I'm trying to compare it to something. I can't find the right team, but Arsenal were completely dominant in terms of possession, you know, like corners, all that sort of stuff. But when it comes down to the actual important statistics, like XG, how many shots they had, shots on target, Arsenal didn't have a single shot on target, which surprised me a little bit. I thought it was like, we know Arsenal aren't as good away from home as they are at home, but it kind of surprised me that they didn't have a single shot on target. It was just surprising. And bloody Galeno, what is he like?
It's just every time we own him, he does nothing, and every time we don't own him, he bangs one in. Player of the match, hat-tricks, the lot, doesn't matter. It's always a double-digit one. If we don't own him.
It's funny, isn't it? He barely plays for us. He barely plays in the league or barely starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Or plays cups. He just comes out of nowhere and scores. Like he scored in the last cup. He scored in the Champions League and the last cup. Just scores in cups. But, it was a good goal, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a fabulous goal. Absolutely fabulous goal. Keeper didn't really have a chance. It's went so far wide and then curled back in. Thought the defence probably could have dealt with it a little bit better. But yeah, I watched the more exciting of the two games, Napoli versus Barcelona, which finished 1-1. It was a bit of a topsy-turvy game. It was neither team was very good and neither team was very bad. It was just sort of, right, we're going to do our thing for 10 minutes. We'll let you do your thing for 10 minutes. Felt like an American football match where you like allowed a certain amount of players to try and score. And then if you don't, it's on to the other team. I thought Barcelona overall were good value for going 1-0 up. And yeah, they were the better team for the majority of the game. Barcelona, I'd say, when you look at it on balance and the fact that they were away from home, Gundogan nearly fired in a rocket right at the top bins in the first half. Had a couple of other good chances. Alex Murray ended up making 5 saves across the whole game. They end up going 1-0 up, and you kind of think that's done. Osimhen out of nowhere gets the equaliser, and from that point on, it's all Napoli. What was strange, though, is literally as soon as he scored, the manager took him off. He took off Kvaratskhelia as well. So took off a couple of... Actually, I think he took off Kvaratskhelia at 1-0. Which was just strange. Yeah, it was a bit strange that you'd take off... maybe not... I don't think Kvaratskhelia is performing very well at the minute, so it's fine if you want to take him off. But Osimhen, after he's just got one, you're thinking, well, go on, you can go and get himself another. Simeone, Raspadori couldn't do anything else. I think overall, Napoli will be chuffed to bits at the end of getting a 1-1 draw at that game, because it didn't look like they were going to get a 1-1 draw for the longest time.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, I was looking at the stats early in the week, and Napoli had an expected goals of 0 in the first half. No shots on target, no shots off target. They were absolutely awful in the first half, which is strange for a home team, you know, to have nothing at all in the first half. But for an away team, I thought Barcelona were good. You know, it's difficult to come to Napoli away from home. It is, and they did that. You know, they ended up having more shots on target. I was just impressed with Barcelona overall more. But Osimhen is so good, isn't he? Like you just don't take him off. Like Nigeria took him off in the AFCON final, and it was just I just thought, like, what are you doing? And he did this. Obviously, the new Napoli manager made the same move, and I just think, like, if he has even a bit of space, or he's a special player. There's no doubt about that. I just think he's a game changer. So personally, I would have kept him on. But yeah, he didn't.
Let's go on to how our teams did then, Lewis. We will go in ascending order. So we'll start with me, because I finished last of the three of us. I still got a green arrow, though, which was really nice. And I did okay. My issue in just looking at it, the reason why I finished quite a way behind both of you is quite simply, I didn't have Mbappe captain, which was worth 18 points for the pair of you. And because of that, I had Kane who blanked, and Fulkrug then blanked, and Saka who blanked. So I didn't have a captain basically do anything in those 9 points double. Because obviously, if I had Mbappe over Kane, it would have been him captain. So I've mugged myself right out of a lot of points there, which is why I'm quite far behind you three this week. I had Sommer in goal with 6 points, DeMarco 6 points. Matson and Saliba on 3 points each. That's obviously a sickener, because Saliba loses a clean sheet in the 96th minute or whatever. John Stones and Ruben Dias, my double Man City clean sheet gone because of Edison and no one else. But they got 4 points each because of ball recovery. 7 for John Stones and 8 for Ruben Dias. 1 ball recovery off a 5-pointer. Gundogan got 3 points. Kevin De Bruyne got 13. Brahim Diaz got 12. Saka, my captain, what a disaster, got 4. Thank you. And Fulkrug got 2 up front. I had Haaland, Kane, both were 2 points on the bench, and Thuram on the bench with 1 point because he was subbed off early. So that's me, 60 points overall. Next, we had Ed. So I'll go through Ed's team. Ed got 73 points, which is obviously, like I say, the difference of him having Mbappe up front with 18 points for his captain. He also had Saka for 2 points. He had Musiala for 3 points. He had Çalhanoğlu for 3 points. In midfield, he did have Brahim Diaz for 12, and he had Phil Foden instead of Kevin De Bruyne for 11. At the back, he also had Darmian 6 and Matson's 3. He had Nathan Ake's 3, and he also had William Saliba's 3. But Ed, the lucky devil, had Lunin in goal for 9 whopping points. Well done to you, Edward. His Eric Dier shout couldn't have ended more disastrously, as he didn't even play.
Yeah, he's. I think he's 2K as well. Ed now, which is
We'll have a little look. He is 2034, so 2,000 in the world. Ed, well done, mate. And Lewis, we'll let you go through yours as you finish on 77 points overall.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a good round. It was solid. I think the biggest annoyance of that round was definitely the Manchester City clean sheet. double the clean sheet. I had the double of Aki and Ruben Diaz, and I just felt that that was a nailed on clean sheet. But it was Man City and it was away from home, so, and I didn't just get the double Manchester City in, you know, just for the first match. So I kind of have to keep the faith without going into the second leg. I had the double Inter defence, which was good. You know, two solid six-pointers. DiMarco didn't really do much offensively. Mattsson was disappointing. But again, you know, I probably wouldn't have expected Mattsson to keep a clean sheet away from home against PSV. In midfield, I had Sane. He hit two. Obviously, we talk about the Bayern duo, Sane and Kane. Just not good enough. I thought they were awful, Bayern against Lazio. I know we talked about it, but just looking at them, their names on my phone just brings back really bad memories. I don't think they had a shot on target. Did they have a shot on target, Bayern? I don't know.
Well, I can have a quick look to see if their keeper made any saves.
If they didn't have a shot on target, that's so bad.
Their keeper didn't make a save.
It's so awful. Tuchel is just ruining Bayern, isn't he? They should have kept Nagelsmann.
Well, no, when you compare Tuchel this season to Nagelsmann the season he got sacked, where they are in terms of how many games played at the point Nagelsmann got sacked, Tuchel's actually got more points than Nagelsmann.
Really?
Yeah. It's just that the reason why, obviously, the second is because Bayer Leverkusen absolutely refused to lose a game of football. Go on, Leverkusen.
But yeah, Saka 2. I had Zaire Emery, who got me 4 points. Obviously, Brahim Diaz and Mbappe captain. I think overall, that took me from, I think it was around 38k and made about 25k to 15k. And 15k is so, so bad at this point. But like, I'm going to try and get back into the top 1k. I might need a miracle to do it. But yeah, I need to think of a strategy to get there.
Differentials, Lewis. Differentials. Mm. Let's dive into some community questions. We've only got a couple this week. So first of all, from FPL McFred, is it viable to go for triple premium forwards and go cheaper in midfield by getting a few ball recovery madniks like Rodri, Kimmich, and Çalhanoğlu?
Yeah, I mean, I've got the three premium forwards. I've got Mbappe, Kane, and Haaland. I felt that those were the three players that could score hat tricks in any of the games. I didn't want to be kind of hiding behind the sofa without one of those. So I think it's fine. It's definitely viable, especially when you've got players like, you know, Zaire Emery and stuff. But there are a lot of midfielder options out there. You know, Foden, Kevin De Bruyne. People are going to probably want Kevin De Bruyne this week. You've got Foden. Bellingham's back. There's a lot of midfielder options. So I suppose it depends on what you think's going to happen. For me, Kane, I think Bayern are going to do it this week. Again, we'll talk more about that on the next pod. But I think I can see Mbappe, Kane and Haaland all scoring this week. So yeah, I think it's, for me, that looks good.
Yeah, I definitely think you can do it as well. I probably wouldn't go personally with Kimmich. Rodri, I do like the shout. It's a case of, can you get him in when you've got Haaland, De Bruyne, Foden, and maybe a double Man City defence all ready to look at? That's going to be a bit of a strange one. I think I might actually just drop to a single Man City defence and try and bring Phil Foden in personally. That being said, I think there's even more premium forwards to look at now, because I think Vinicius Jr. is another good choice this week now that Bellingham's back and he bagged a brace at the weekend, I think. So there's that. Çalhanoğlu, I think, is a great shout, just purely for no other reason than he's on pens. Like, he's a pen taker, of course. Every pen taker in this game is a viable option, in my opinion. Mm. With Alvarez getting benched versus United, so we're going to assume that's Julian Alvarez getting benched versus Manchester United. Should I gamble and pick him over Haaland? Sorry, this is Mr.UCL, by the way, who is at Mr. Fantasy Player. So with Alvarez getting benched versus United, should I gamble and pick him over Haaland? Mbappe is also in a weird situation after getting subbed off at halftime. He's also made a suggestion. Kubasi, 4 million, has started 6 out of Barcelona's last 7 La Liga games. He starts again tonight, Kubasi as well. So 4 million defender, centre-back there, if someone did need to free up some budget. Lewis, I'll let you tackle the first part of the question in a moment. The second part, Mbappe is also in a weird situation after getting subbed off at half-time. That's obviously just with Luis Enrique's quotes that PSG need to learn how to play without Kylian Mbappe because you'll be off to Real Madrid in the summer. I personally can't see Luis Enrique having them learn how to live without him in the Champions League. I just think it's too important. I think in the French League, that isn't even classed in UEFA's coefficient as the top 5 leagues in Europe, there are games where they can just not play him, or they can take him off at halftime if they're winning, that sort of thing. I personally think the UCL is there to win for PSG. I don't think they will win it, but I think Luis Enrique will see it as something that is there to win, and he will want to go as far as possible in the competition, and Kylian Mbappe is the player that is most likely going to help them do that. So I think Mbappe's minutes are pretty much absolutely fine unless they run absolutely riot against Sociedad in the first half to a point where the tie's beyond any reasonable doubt. And you'd imagine if PSG do go mad, that Mbappe is going to be at the heart of that and get you loads of points anyway. So I think if you've got Mbappe, it's absolutely fine. Unless it was part of your plan anyway to go Mbappe to Kane, as we sort of mentioned in the previous, we did say start with Mbappe, then move to Kane. I don't think that's changed for anyone that does have some transfers to burn. Or you could even do Mbappe to Vinicius Jr. now that Jude's back. But I'll let you answer the first one. With Alvarez getting benched, should he gamble on Alvarez over Haaland?
I don't think so. I think Alvarez probably not going to start, is he?
I don't think so either.
I don't think that means anything, does it, with Pep? Like, yeah, I know we joke about it, but I seriously don't think that means anything. I think that Alvarez probably won't start the Champions League, but I do think he'll definitely come on. So to answer that, probably no, because I think Haaland, he's one of those players, isn't he, that, yeah, he's kind of annoying. Like, I can see why, I can even see why a lot of people are going to try and captain different to Haaland this week, but it's at those moments where you think he's not going to do well, where he comes out with, you know, a ridiculous kind of game where he's scoring 2, 3, 4, 5 goals. So like, he's just one of those players who, he's one of the only players in Europe, you know, who is capable of scoring 5 goals in a game. We saw that against Leipzig, we saw it against Luton. I know they're two different completely games, competitions, opponents, but you know, to actually do that is massive. So I just think going without Haaland is dangerous, and I'm not too sure we're going to need the budget anyway. If that makes sense, I don't think we need to sacrifice Haaland desperately for budget. I wouldn't see where the budget would go.
Yeah, I think you maybe go for it if you're like 500,000 in the world. And even then, I think I'd rather just go for Mbappe, Kane and Vinicius Jr. or something similar.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather just do that than mess around with taking out Haaland. I've thought about it myself just because I'm on 4 Man City, and I'm just saying, nah. If him and De Bruyne do at home to Copenhagen what they did against Luton, oh my goodness me. I just couldn't bear it, Lewis. I just couldn't bear it. Not again. Not this again. No way. I'm not having Haaland at home in the Champions League. He was rubbish against Man United today. Absolutely rubbish, and he still scored.
Yeah.
Just what he does. And ultimately, the game doesn't matter if he's rubbish or not. The game matters how many points he gets, and he'll probably get a goal. And it's just like, oh, well, what's the point? And I mean, that's the thing. What's Julian Alvarez's ceiling, really? Like, he's not a... I think he's maybe a goal and an assist, something like that, probably.
Yeah.
I don't really see him as a hat-trick kind of guy, whereas Haaland is literally, you could score a hat-trick in 10 minutes and play and play absolutely woefully for the other 80. It's just...
I mean, we laugh, but you know, he can't, Corny.
It's an awful truth. I don't have him in FPL, so it's been a wild ride.
Jesus.
I nearly did so well today. And on that bombshell, thank you everyone for listening. Ed will hopefully be back with us for the next reviews. As far as I'm aware, he's not going to join us for the preview either. He's just got some personal things pop up, as it always happens.
I think what is worth mentioning is that myself and you, Dan, will be hosting a Deadline Space this week, won't we? On Tuesday.
We will be doing a space. Yes. Mm. Lewis, let's plug that. That's a good thing to plug, isn't it? Go on. I'll let you plug it.
Yeah, so me and Dan have decided to, and Ed, of course, when he's up for it, when he's winning, when he has good weeks. So we're going to do a Deadline Space. We feel like so much happens at a deadline that it's worth, you know, doing at least an hour just to answer questions, go through team news, check out injuries, and also go through the lineups that we're going to see, because obviously we get early lineups this week. We're going to see the Bayern and Lazio lineups, and I think we're going to see the PSG and Sociedad lineups, is it?
Yeah, worthless is what we call those, Lewis. Worthless lineups.
Well, not for me, because Zaire Emery hasn't started the last two matches, so I'm going to need... So there's a couple of bits that are going to need worth shot, including Sane, who's injured. So it's going to be a big team lineups moment this week on Tuesday. So yeah, just join us if you want. We're going to probably bring a couple of people in if you want to answer questions then. If you want to ask some questions, then me and Dan will answer them. So, yeah.
And Lewis, are we doing that on the Fantasy Football Community X page?
No, we're going to be doing that on Fantasy Football Scout this time.
Fantasy Football Scout. So make sure you follow Fantasy Football Scout. I imagine you do. And then also, don't forget to follow us at Fantasy UCL Pod so that you can see our teams. Obviously, that's where we post so that you can ask us any questions that we answer on these reviews and previews as well sometimes. So please, please don't forget to follow us. Also, if you have enjoyed this podcast, jump on and give us a 5-star rating. And we will see you all for the preview, where myself and Lewis will go through our teams and the moves that we plan on making. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye now.